Genesis chapter number 6, last Sunday morning, we began a message that we entitled, In to Win in the End. In to Win in the End. And we have been led to use in Genesis 6 several times. We'll just point out a few of those this morning just by way of remembrance. Verse 18 of chapter 6. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark. The emphasis is into the ark. Thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of everything of all flesh, two of every sort, thou shalt bring, and again we hear it, into the ark. Chapter 7, verse 1, And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house, and again, into the ark. Verse 7, Noah went in. Like that word in. You better like that word in. Amen. If you're not in, you're out. There's no middle ground. There's no almost in or no almost out. You're either in or you're out. Noah went in. He wasn't throwed in. He wasn't carried in. He wasn't pushed in. He went in. I'm of the persuasion of the Scripture that God honors the free will of man. God will not force you to accept Jesus. God will not twist your arm or put you in a headlock, amen, or handcuff you and drag you to an altar. He will give you the invitation of verse 1, Come thou into the ark. He will give you the invitation. He will give you the invite. He will get personal with you. He'll let you know He's talking to you. He's dealing with you. He's drawing you. But you must respond. Amen. We're not Calvinists around here. Amen. I know that's coming into our part of the country pretty strong. Reformed theology is another word for it. And just simply basically says that God has predetermined, predestined, elected those to be saved whom He wills. And those that's not elected, they're going to hell, and nobody can do about it. Amen. You go to heaven, nothing you can do about it. And those that goes to hell's nothing they can do about it. That is not taught in the Word of God. Amen. Amen. All right. The Bible said in verse 7, And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, and again into the ark, because of the waters of the flood. I believe that's showing us the very reason you need to be into the ark is because of the waters of the flood. What did that represent? The judgment of God upon sin. Why be in the ark? Or as the New Testament would be in Christ. Be in Christ because judgment is coming on sin. God cannot allow sin to go unjudged. Amen. That's exactly right. And so again, we look down in verse 13, in the selfsame day, entered Noah, Shem, Ham, Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them. And again, we hear the statement, into the ark. And then the Bible says in verse 15, And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they went in, they that went in male and female flesh, of all flesh, as God hath commanded him, and the Lord, this is why you need to be in, and the Lord shut him in. Now that same door that was in the ark that shut Noah and his family in, shut the rest out. Are you listening? The same Savior today that stands ready, willing, and able to save you If you do not respond and receive Him and get in, will one day be the judge that will say to you, bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness. The same ark that could have saved them literally after the door was shut was the ark that condemned them. You can read that in the book of Peter where the Bible tells us that it was, well, let me read it to you right quick. In 2 Peter, you can hold your place there in Genesis. The Bible said, and here the Bible said, and God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, and watch this next statement, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. That same preaching that could have got you in will be the preaching one day that will stand as a witness against you in judgment. Are you listening? Are you in? Nothing more important than being in Christ. Amen? Being in Christ. And then chapter number 8, verse number 1, there's several other verses that we could point it out. Chapter 8, verse 1, and God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him. And again, the statement, in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters were assuaged. And so we find several times, I believe I counted, starting in chapter 6, verse 18, all the way through chapter 8, verse number 1, I believe I counted 16 times that the word in is used, once the word entered, and of course the word into, all referencing the same idea of Noah and his family being in the ark. Now then, in to win in the end. Now a lot of people, as we pointed out last Sunday, are acting as though there's not going to be an end. They act like they're going to live forever. I've asked people personally, have you ever thought about dying? They said, no, sir, I just refuse to let myself think about that. You ever think about eternity? I've had people to tell me, I don't want to think about it. I don't think about it. When that thought comes to my mind, I dismiss it and I go on. Well, that doesn't make good sense. I'm telling you, that's where everybody in this building's headed. We're eternity-bound people. Eternity-bound people, and nothing you can do to stop that. The only thing you can do, my friend, is make the right choice as to where you're going to spend eternity. And I want to say here today that everybody that's in are winners. They're going to win in the end. Amen. In fact, we're winning now. We're winning now. We're already winners. The Christian life is the greatest life to live. There wasn't a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. My friend, it'd still be the best life to live. Amen. Surely it would. Amen. No doubt about it. But I want to say here this morning that every saved person is a winner, and we ought to act like it. Amen. Amen. We ought to show the world with our behavior, with our lives, that we are in Christ and it's the best thing that's ever happened to us. We should never act like that salvation ruined everything. We should never act like salvation was a mistake. We should never act like that salvation was a regretful thing. No, we ought to project the world with our face, with our voice, with our life, with our lifestyle, with our looks, with our actions, with our attitude, and all that goes with it. We ought to project to the world that being saved is the greatest thing on planet Earth. Amen. Amen. The Bible calls it in Hebrews chapter 2, I believe it's verse 3, about God calls salvation so great salvation. God calls salvation that you have if you're saved great. Amen. Now the world would never measure up to greatness with the world. No, the world looks down on it. The world plays it down.
The world make fun of you. But God says if you're saved, you've got a great thing happen to you. You've got a great thing in you. You're headed to a great place to meet a great Savior, to live a great life for a great long eternity. Amen. Everything about salvation's great. There's not one negative thing about salvation. Not one. Amen. Not one. I mean, I've been saved soon to be 30 years. January will be 30 years that I've been saved. I don't know of one negative thing about salvation. Amen. Every time I got down, it was my fault. Every time I got discouraged, it was my fault. Every time I got defeated, it was my fault. Amen. Every time. Every negative thing that I could even think of in relation to salvation, it's all on my fault. It's my fault. I did it. Amen. Oh, if you'll walk in the Spirit, my friend, and live for the Lord, and allow God to be your everything, allow Him to be your all in all, I'll tell you, there'll never be one negative thought. There'll never be a thought, I wish I hadn't have got saved. There'll never be the thought, I wished I'd have waited. No, friend. The only regret I've ever heard out of anybody about salvation is, I wished I'd have got saved sooner. I wished I'd have gotten saved at an early life. Amen. One of the fellows that preached on Friday night, Brother Scott, 18 years old. I tell you, been preaching since he was 10, saved since he was 8 years old. Boy, I wish I had that testimony, and I could have, as far as being saved that long. God dealt with me when I was 8, right, 8 or 9, right in that time frame. God dealt with me. I could have gotten saved, amen. I could have. Are you listening? Oh, I wished I could. I wished I'd had that testimony that I could stand in front of teenagers and say that I never know what a lot of this stuff tastes like and not what a lot of it looks like. And I wish I could stand and say that I've never been there and I've not done this and I've not done that because of that grace of God that came early into my life and worked in my life, a change, and give me a heart for the Lord at an early life. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Boy, I thought just now, I thought about old Noah. You know, Ham, Shem, and Japheth went in and their wives went in. And you know what? I thought about if old Noah hadn't have been the man of righteousness that he was, a man that was that God said that he had saw righteous in his generation. You know, and he was a preacher of righteousness. No telling where Ham, Shem, and Japheth would have been. I doubt they'd have been in the ark building business. I doubt they'd have been interested in my friend getting in. Oh, parents, you got a lot to say, a lot to do with whether your children want in or not. And amen, a sorry parent is one that don't care whether their children are in or not. A sorry parent is one that, my friend, are more interested in their children being in the in crowd, in that crowd out there that's accepting them and applauding them and pulling them, my friend, into a deeper lifestyle of sin. Oh yes, a lot of parents spend great money to push their children out into that which will ruin their life. Amen. That's exactly right. I told somebody one time, a relative of ours, or someone kin to us, I said, they're talking about all these pageants they're putting their children in, beauty pageants and all these talent shows. I said, you're creating a monster. I said, you're creating a monster. Every time they go in the bedroom and they see all these trophies, they'll think, man, I'm something. I won them because I look this way. Man, I look at me, and boy, it builds that self-image, and it builds that that self-righteousness, and that self-importance, and it's hard to reach them with the gospel. Because they live for self, and that particular one does. That's on my mind. Lives for self. Amen. Oh, I want to tell you, thank God for Noah. How many times Noah told, amen, told Ham, Shem, and Japheth, no, you're not going. I didn't get up here today to preach this part. It's coming. I wonder how many times Noah said to Ham, Shem, and Japheth, no, you're not going. No, you're not running with that crowd. Amen. Amen. I wonder how many times, I know the Bible don't necessarily say it, but the Bible's not everything God knows. It's just all that He wants us to know. Amen. You know good and well there's times that Noah had to get on his children. There hadn't been a child born yet other than Jesus that didn't need a good talking to and a, amen, took to the bedroom for a prayer meeting every once in a while. Amen. Amen. Jesus didn't. He was perfect. But everybody else needs it. Amen. Sure, that's right. I thought about, listen, just now, how many times Noah and them preached to his children, preached to his family. Amen. Ham and Shem and Japheth had three wives, one each. And guess what? The Bible said they went in the ark too. Amen. I believe the heart's desire for every parent, if they've got children, of course they're a parent, they got children. Amen. At least last time I looked, they did. Amen. That qualifies you. But if, listen, the desire ought to be not only that your children get in and that your child is raised to live for the Lord and serve the Lord. And I tell you what, when they get up to age where they're looking to have a family of their own, that you'd pray and desire that God would prepare them a mate that would want to get in the ark with them and that would want to be interested in the preaching of righteousness also. Amen. Amen. Boy, that's good, isn't it? God help us. Amen. That's right. Amen. Amen. An individual that is not interested in the ark should not even be interested. You shouldn't be interested in them as a mate. Amen. That's right. But there are only two crowds, I mean really, on planet Earth today, and that's those that are in and those that are out. Those that was in the ark and those that wasn't in the ark. Those that are saved and those that are not saved. Those that's going to go to heaven because they're saved, and those that's going to miss heaven because they're not saved. There's only two classes even in this congregation today. As we pointed out last Sunday, there's the saved and there's the lost. There's the in and there's the out. Are you in this morning? Is it real to you that you're in? Yeah, everybody may think you're in, but are you in? You willing to die with what you got? That's a good question. That's a question I asked my wife when the Lord's dealing her about being saved. I asked her, after asking her to give me a testimony of her a profession and all of that, and my second question was, are you willing to trust that to take you to heaven when you die? Amen. I mean, there may be people in the room with you when you cross over, but that's something you're going to do by yourself. Amen. Everybody can be around, but you're going to die by yourself. Amen. It doesn't matter who's holding your physical hand. You better make sure you've got somebody to take you across the river, and that person is Jesus. Amen. Only two classes. Saved and lost. In and out. Winners. Losers. And I thought about this morning. Everybody that dies lost will end up being sore losers. There won't be one sweet person in heaven, in hell. There won't be one nice person in hell. They might have been sweet here, and they may have been nice here, but they won't be nice there. Because the Bible defines them all in this term. They'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. It is a place of ultimate and complete darkness. You will not be able to identify by sight any kind of personality next to you. Are you listening? Weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. There'll be family biting on each other. Gnawing on each other for pain. But they won't know it. They won't know it. Are you listening? Everybody that goes to hell will be a sore loser. And one thing that'll make them irritable is that haunting memory that I could have got saved. That I heard enough gospel. That I heard preaching. That I had relatives. That I saw a gospel tract. That I found a Bible and read it. Amen. There'll be enough that will hold you accountable for your destiny. Not one person at any time of any generation when standing before God at the white throne judgment will raise a finger and point God out as guilty or to blame for them going to hell. God will be just in everybody that, my friend, goes to the eternal condemnation of hell. God will be just. Amen. Yes, sir. As Romans chapter 1 presents, even the creation of God bears witness, my friend, preaches a message of the Creator around the world 24/7. Enough that will hold you accountable. Enough to let you know there is a God. Amen. There are those that win and those that lose. And what's most important, and I pointed this out last Sunday, as illustrated in a ball game, when it's all over with, there's only one question of importance. Wasn't who played what play and who made this touchdown and who scored that point. They want to know one thing. Who won? They want to know who won. I want to ask you, are you a winner? You say, preacher, I'll have to wait. Now, ball game's different. A ball game, you have to wait till the whistle blows and the clock's run out to know for sure, definitely, who won. In other words, you have to wait till the end. Most times, know who won or who lost, make it final. But this thing of being saved, you better not wait till the end. If you wait till the horn blows, if you wait till the clock's run out, if you wait till you draw your last breath, if you wait till the judgment, I'm going to tell you, you've waited too long. You've waited too late. See, with earth, everything about earth, you have to wait till the end to determine who's the winner. But with God, oh no, you better know and you can know that you have won, my friend, before it is over. Noah didn't have to wait till after the storm to find out he was in the ark. Noah won before the storm of judgment ever come. Amen. Let me deal with some things here this morning quickly before time gets away. And the first thing I just want to point out is the personal emphasis about being in to win in the end. I'm sure you noticed it because I read it this morning. Chapter 6, verse 18. The Bible says, thou shalt come into the ark, and then he says, thou. And then he says, thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. And again, chapter 7, and verse 7, Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him into the ark. But look how personal it gets in verse 13. In the selfsame day entered Noah individually. Shem individually. Ham individually. Japheth individually. And the Bible said they were the sons of Noah. And Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons went into the ark. No indication whatsoever that either one of them or any of them was made or forced or pulled or dragged or pushed or carried. Are you listening? I know this is elementary preaching right here, but it still needs to be preached. There is no such salvation taught in the Bible as a pant leg salvation, a dress tail salvation. In other words, go in on somebody else. Amen. Your mama may be saved and godly as they come, but that don't do a thing for you concerning salvation. Amen. Noah went in. Ham had to go in. Shem had to go in. Japheth had to go in. Mrs. Noah went in. Mrs. Ham, Mrs. Shem, and Mrs. Japheth went in. They all went in individually. Salvation, my friend, is an individual thing. You can't go to the altar because your buddy goes. How many people has done that? Their friend goes and so they come. And that's wonderful. So the Lord's dealing with them. The Lord's drawing them. Lord's speaking to them. That's all well and good. And if you're in a service, and I've been in a service where there's been many people get saved at one time, but they all got saved one at a time.
That's right.
Yep. Amen. Yep. Amen. Amen. Are you listening? I was in a meeting one time in Easley, South Carolina, Dr. Percy Ray. And there was like 68 people got saved in that one service. Lined up from one side of that big church all the way across the front, all the way to the other side. And I want to tell you, every one of them got in. If they got in, they got in individually.
That's right.
Amen. Have you ever, listen, are you in personally? Amen. You can't go in hanging on your daddy's hand and your mama's dress tail. You can't go in, my friend, on your genealogy and your family tree. And you can't get in, my friend, because of the people you know and the people you're kin to and who's your buddies. No, you get saved because you went in. Amen. The personal emphasis. I got in. I'm in. I'm saved. And that is what keeps me going.
Amen.
Are you listening? It's not how you do and what you do and you know. And I listen, I'll tell you what keeps me going. It's because I'm always reminded of what He did for me.
Amen.
Well, I've seen people get in. I thought got in and they kicked out before long, and I've seen them in and out, on and off, flopping around and fizzling out and all of that. You know what's kept me going for almost 30 years? It's not that flopping in and out and on and off crowd. Oh no, I've been so disappointed in people, it's not even funny. I'll tell you what's kept me from quitting. I'll tell you what's kept me pressing on. It's because January the 20th, 1981, this old boy got a holy invitation from a holy God to get in. And I responded. Thank God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad I got in. Are you in? Are you in? No such thing as families getting in as a family. Amen. I believe the Bible teaches household salvation. Amen. But still yet, they all got to get in by themselves and alone. Amen. You can walk with your children through a lot of things. But I tell you what, you can't hold their hand in salvation or in death.
That's right.
That's between them and the Lord. That's between them and the Lord. And since it's personal about getting in, it'll be your fault if you miss it. You can't blame the preacher. You can't blame the church. You can't blame problems. You can't blame my friend this and that. And you can't blame hypocrisy. I've heard people use hypocrites as a crutch. I've heard people use this and that and the church fights and fusses as a crutch. I want to tell you what, friend, no matter what excuse you try to hang on to, it doesn't matter, my friend, what kind of a reason of a rope that you're holding on to, you will stand one day without excuse before a holy God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's exactly right. Getting in's personal, and if you miss it, you're going to be held accountable for that yourself. Won't be able to blame nothing or nobody else. But there is the personal emphasis about this thing of being in to win in the end. And then let me mention a second truth, and we'll just try to mind the Lord on how far He wants us to go. But I want to mention this. That is the preeminence or the priority about being in to win in the end. If you were to ask Noah or any of his family, what's the most important thing to you, Noah? What's top priority to you, Noah? He would have mentioned nothing worldly. He would have mentioned nothing that would have been out there in the world. He would have mentioned nothing about no popularity contest. He would have mentioned nothing about no pleasures. He would have mentioned nothing about possessions. Top priority for Noah is to be in. Top priority. Nothing more important
than whether you're in or not. Let me say this right here. It's not just important when God's dealing with you about being saved either. How many have I seen and you've seen, and we've all seen in our life, our Christian life, when God's dealing with somebody about being saved, it seems to be important then. But as soon as they go to an altar, or they bow in a Sunday school room, or bow to a bedside, or wherever they claim to get saved, as soon as they do business seemingly with the Lord, then all of a sudden, this all-important issue is not important anymore. Are you listening? I've seen it, and I don't understand it. I don't understand it, because being saved is only the beginning. Being saved is not confined, my friend, to a profession. Hello. Being saved is not just a prayer. Being saved is not believing just a verse, amen, or some transaction of any sort that comes into about a 5 minute or 30 minute span. Being saved starts then, but it will never end. Hello, I want to shout it from the mountaintops this morning. There is a starting point of salvation, but there's never an ending point of salvation. I want to tell you, if it was good at the beginning, it can only get better and better and better. I don't know who wrote the little chorus, "Sweeter gets the journey every day. Serving Jesus really pays. I get happy in this heavenly way. Sweeter gets the journey every day." The Bible said in the book of Proverbs chapter 4 that the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Salvation is not here, and everything thereafter is here. Are you listening? Why would not salvation be greater after? When you got saved, you didn't know much about what was going on. All you knew is you was lost. You needed to be saved. Jesus was the Savior. And you was and that was all that was going on. And you getting to Him and Him saving you. But after you get saved, you got a Bible that teaches you what happened to you when you got saved. I didn't know nothing about justification the night I got saved. I didn't know nothing about reconciliation the night I got saved. I didn't know nothing about the deity of Christ and all of that the night I got saved. I want to tell you, I got in, and thereafter I've been learning from the manual. I've been studying the manual. I've been preaching the manual for almost 30 years. Are you listening? And the more you know about Him, the more you should love Him. And the more you love Him, the more you want to know about Him. I want to tell you, I'm not over getting saved. I'm not used to being saved. It's still fresh to me. It's still exciting to me. I'm still glad that I've passed from death unto life. Amen. Amen. The truth is, the day you got saved was the little end. I know it's the biggest thing that ever happened to you, but it's still the little end. Amen. God means for it to get bigger and better and more wonderful as you go along, as you grow and as you develop and as you mature. Even in this life, it ought to get better and better and better. Nothing should be more important to you. If we could get young people as interested in salvation as they are popularity, they'd be lined up from here to Chattanooga to get saved this morning. A large percentage of everything they do, choices they make, people they go with, run with, places they go, music they listen to, everything that pretty much evolves around what's going to help me to be accepted. What's going to help me to be recognized? A lot of people be in hell, my friend, because they allowed popularity to hinder them. Because when you get in, friend, you get in, you become a child of light. And light
and darkness has no fellowship. If you can get along with that crowd that cusses God and the Bible and church and has nothing to do with God, has no heart for God, but you fit with them like a hand in a glove, you better look in the mirror, friend. You better look in the mirror of God's Word and find out what you've got. And find out what you've got. If you're like them, it's probably because you're one of them. Amen? Amen? That's right. I'm all against. I know it's old fashioned. I know it's old fashioned to the bone. But I'm guilty. Go ahead and just write me under the old fashioned title. I'm guilty. Amen. I still believe that when grace comes in, God comes in. And when grace and God comes in, godliness comes in. God's nature comes in. God will make a difference in your life. He'll change your desires. He'll change your direction. He'll change the way you think. He'll change what you want. He'll change, my friend, everything about your life for the better. Amen. Amen. There's the priority. Nothing more important. That crowd that heard Noah preach for 120 years, they didn't make a big deal out of it. They made light of it. None of them even responded. Only Noah and his family got in. 8 people total, including Noah. 120 years of preaching. Are you listening? Oh, I want to tell you, dear friend, God has exposed you to a lot of preaching. And that preaching has presented to you the opportunity to get in and how to get in and who can save you and what's coming if you don't get saved. But if you don't do nothing with it, it'll be preaching that'll stand and witness against you one day at the judgment seat. At the white throne judgment. That's exactly right. So there's the priority of getting in. Now that, like I said, Noah, if you'd ask him, Noah, what's important to you? He would have mentioned nothing worldly. But then if you'd have went outside the ark and interviewed a few of that crowd out there, what's important to you? Hey, ma'am, excuse me. What's important to you, sir? They would have mentioned nothing about that ark. They would have mentioned nothing. See, Noah, you see the opposite? Noah would have mentioned nothing about what's important to them. What was important to Noah? That ark, being in, escaping the judgment, being on the good side of God. Hey, man, finding grace in his eyes. But that crowd out yonder, friend, all they living for is S-I-N. You know what? Listen, you know what Noah preached? I never thought about it this morning. And I even looked. I didn't have time to look and search it all out because the thought just came to me this morning. I never find one time where Noah told them to get an ark. Never found it. Never thought of it till this morning. Not once do you find Noah preaching to them about getting in the ark. If it's in there, it might be, but I couldn't find it this morning. But I did find where the Bible said he was a preacher of righteousness. You know what that meant? He spent 120 years preaching against their sin. When you preach to somebody about their sin and they see the exceeding sinfulness of sin and see the impending judgment on sin and know that God is going to judge sin, you don't have to do much telling them to get in the ark. They'll go hunt in the ark. You try to tell somebody, invite somebody to get in the ark that's still favorable about sin, they're not the least bit interested. I've seen people crumble up gospel tracts and throw it at my feet after handing it to them. People slam the door in your face. I ain't got time. I don't want to hear it. Amen. Are you listening? Are you listening to the preacher this morning? Hey, I'm talking about how important is it to you to be in the end. Amen. Because it's about here, not the end of time. We know there's at least 1,007 years left of time. But I tell you what is about to wind up, and that's the church age. Amen. There's two ends. There's three ends, Lord, just put in my mind right then, that you better be extremely afraid of, especially if you're not saved. One is you better be afraid of the end of the invitation. Because there's a day coming and there's a moment coming when you can say no one time too many, and God will walk off and leave you. And my friend, you're just as sure for hell at that moment as if you was already there. When God leaves you alone, I know that you don't hear that preached much. We've preached this lovey-dovey God to the point that we think that you can get saved anywhere, anytime, my friend, that you so plan on. I want to tell you, I believe in a whosoever will, but not a whensoever will. You get saved just as I did when God invited, when God convicted, when God drew me. You don't just wake up one morning with a thought in your mind, I believe today will be a good day to pray and get saved. No, God has to deal with you, my friend, about your sin and show you that you're in trouble with God and nothing you can do in yourself to fix it. Are you listening? Oh, yes. You better get in, friend. You better get in. But there's the end of the invitation. Sending away your day of grace. One of the most powerful messages that's ever come across the lips of a human being is God's Three Deadlines by Dr. J. Harold Smith. Everybody needs to hear it. And he gives illustration after illustration after illustration. Personal people that he knows that send their day of grace away that he knew personally. God told him, leave them alone. I'm done with them. And don't you think God won't get done with you? Brother Billy Kelly was preaching a tent meeting one time. I heard him personally tell it. He was preaching a tent meeting one night and a fellow in the community, they'd been wanting to get saved and tried to get saved for years. He ventured underneath the tent that night. Sat on the back row and Brother Kelly preached. And down the old sawdust trail and sawdust aisle, this man came and got in the altar. And he got in the altar, Brother Klepper, and of course the community so glad and the church so glad to see him. They kind of gathered around, you know, and praying and I don't know what happened. Brother Kelly said he didn't know what happened, but in the middle of all of it, this man stood up and kicked sawdust all over them and cussed and rant and raved about them and down, back out through there he went. And he said as soon as he went out from under the edge of that tent, said he began to run through the field like a wild Comanche Indian, like somebody completely uncontrollable. And he began to scream running through the darkness of that night, "Come back, God! Come back, God!" You know what he did? He spurned the last opportunity and very likely blasphemed the Holy Ghost. Are you listening? The end, I wasn't aiming to preach this. This just come. We'll be done. But you better be fearful of the end of an invitation. Every time God shows mercy to you and grace to you to warm your heart and trouble your heart and get personal to you, I'm talking about the God of heaven speaking to you, showing you He's interested in you, knocking on your door. I want to tell you, you better not take that lightly. You better not take that lightly, cause I'm gonna tell you, you might think He'll come again, He'll knock again, He'll call again, He'll speak again, I'll go to church again, I'll hear another message again, I'll this and that. No, tell you friend, each time you deal with God in rejection,
each time gets lesser and lesser. You better be fearful. I don't know why I'm on this. I'm dealing with the priority of getting in. I don't know why I'm on this right here. Listen, you better be fearful of the end of an invitation. If God, I've heard it said this way, if God ever walks off and leaves you alone, if God ever gets done with you and invites you His last time and you trample underfoot and make light of His invitation, God will be as through with you as a doctor is a dead man. You better be fearful of that last, and it could be at any time, that last invite. Well, I'll wait. That's the devil's word. Tomorrow, that's the devil's word. 2 Corinthians 6 says today is the day of salvation. So you better be fearful of that end of invitation. I'll tell you another end you better be fearful of. You better be fearful of the end of your life. The end of that invitation I just got through dealing with, none of us know. I've heard some testify that God told them it's now or never. I've heard some testify, and probably that was so. God said, this is it. It's either you get in now or never. But I don't have a verse of Scripture to tell you, dear lost sinner friend of mine this morning. I do not have a verse of Scripture to tell you that God's going to tell you that this is your last time. He may, and He may not. So we don't know when that is. And you don't know when the end of your life is. I know what your plans are. None of us. I didn't get up this morning planning with no thought to go down to the funeral home today. Make funeral arrangements today. I know what our plans are. Our plans are living, not leaving. None of us are planning that today might be it. None of us probably, including myself up until this preaching point right here, none of us probably got up this morning thinking, you know what, this would be it. This could be it. Is there anybody got up today, be honest, anybody get up today thinking this might be my last day? This could be my last day. This could be the day that I die. Anybody think that? I didn't think it. I didn't think it. You didn't think it. And probably hundreds of thousands, if not millions and billions of people did not think it either. But there will be hundreds of thousands of people that are living their last day. You get saved when God invites. Are you going to miss it? You get saved before you die, or you're going to miss it. No such teaching in the Bible of purgatory. Right. No such teaching in the Bible, my friend, of a second chance after death. I know there's movies out that says so, but it don't matter what movie says so. What does the Bible say? 2 Thessalonians is very clear. That is not going to happen. If you've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, you will forever be accountable to God. Amen. Now, there will be people saved in the tribulation. There will be. But it will not be people that has heard the gospel.
Right, you're right. You're
right. Amen. Let me just help you with it. It won't be you. Because you've already heard enough this morning.
Amen.
You've heard enough this morning. The end of the invitation. The end of your life that is so frail. I mean, you can be here and gone just like that. Death sometimes comes slowly. Sometimes it comes suddenly. But for sure, it will come surely. Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Are you willing? Listen, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to face reality. Are you willing? Listen, are you willing if today's the day, hope it ain't, God forbid, for any of us, are you willing to trust, stake your eternal, never unending destiny on what you claim to have? That's serious, friend. Now, we're not talking about missing out on buying something or missing out on a good deal or a blue light special. We're talking about missing heaven. We're talking about some eternal, unending consequences. It's not something that you get out of 1 million years from today or 10 trillion years. We're talking about unending. Unending. So there's the end of the invitation. There is the end of your life. There's the end of the church age, and that'll happen at any unknown second when Jesus comes. All three of those ends that the Lord just brought to my mind that I preached on the last few minutes, all three of them are uncertain, have no clue when they're going to be over. Don't know when God's going to call the last time. Don't know when I'm going to draw my last breath. And I don't know when Jesus is coming. But you can tell by that Bible, friend, we're on the threshold.
Amen.
We're on the threshold of the coming of the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, friend, when the door shuts, it's too late to say, oops. When the door shuts, friend, and it's over, I want to tell you, it's too late to say, preacher, would you give another invitation? Are you in? Because I'm going to tell you this, and I'm done. Miss Paul, so you make your way. Listen to this right here. If you're not in, you will not win in the end. It doesn't matter how much recognition, success, doesn't matter what the world thinks of you, how popular you are, whatever, doesn't matter. What's going to matter is, when it's over, where will you be? Where will you be? Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name to the throne of grace. Lord, I want to thank you for giving us good liberty, our Father, to preach your precious word. Lord, I've sensed right here in the last few minutes a seriousness come into the service. Seriousness come into the service. Because really, Lord, there's nothing, Lord, more serious than whether a person's saved or not. Nothing's more important. Nothing will matter longer than whether we're saved or not. A lot of things in this life, if we make a wrong choice about, we could get over it. Or we could go an alternative route. Or we could do something else. But Lord, when it's over and we've missed salvation and we've missed heaven, that's permanent. There is no alternatives. There are no options. There are no substitutes. It can never be reversed. And forever and forever and ever, sinners will be haunted and horrified with the plaguing, unending thoughts. I did not have to come here. I did not have to come to this awful place. I could have gotten saved. I was invited by the Spirit of God. I heard preaching, sat in a Sunday school class, read a gospel tract, heard a radio broadcast, whatever the case is, had a work associate stand beside me and witness to me on the job. People better make sure that they're in. Because if they're not in, they will not win. In the end. Father, save sinners. Stir the saints of God. Help us to examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith. You told us to do that. Examine ourselves and approve our own selves
And know ye not your own selves, how that Christ Jesus is in you, except ye be reprobates. Take the message and feeble effort of my part to preach this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed, several have been to the altar already. I want to ask you a question. We're not going to tarry. Not going to tarry. The Lord's dealt with you this morning about being saved. I tell you what I'd do. The Lord's dealt with you. The Lord made it real to you. The Lord spoke to you. And you know tonight, this morning, you know that if that last invitation comes, you draw your last breath, or Jesus comes today, you know that in the condition you're in, you're going to miss heaven. To me, just looking at it from my perspective, a person that knows to be lost is to lose, then why keep playing that game? Why keep playing that game when you know you'll never win? That is foolish.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.